night gets colder. My eyes go thin as I get older. Piece in pieces, bloody and bruised. I feel so helpless and confused. Cause I hear screaming on the left, yelling on the right. I'm sitting in the middle trying to live my life.
Good afternoon, this is Evelyn Pringle. Welcome to Focus on the Facts. To start the show, I always like to start by listing the methods of genocide taking place in the United States. First and foremost is the geoengineering and the spraying of chemtrails, followed by the forced vaccination of children with poisonous vaccines that include mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde, and tissue from aborted babies. Another method is the prescribing of mind and body damaging pharmaceutical drugs to people of all ages, along with the medical care in the U.S. that causes disease but does not cure any. And finally, we are being killed and injured by the GMO and chemically laced food sold in grocery stores to families all over the U.S. and through the contaminated drinking water. My guest today is Del Bigtree, the producer of Vaxxed, From Cover-Up to Catastrophe. Vaxxed is a documentary investigation into the fraud conducted on the MMR vaccine autism study at the CDC that was revealed by Dr. William Thompson, a CDC senior scientist and whistleblower. Dale left the job producing the popular TV show The Doctors to cover the CDC whistleblower story. He says our children are being sold to the pharmaceutical industry. Dale produced this film with Andy Wakefield and Polly Tommy. They are all true heroes to me. Anyone who goes up against the pharmaceutical industry nowadays puts their life in great danger, and these three people are risking it all to stop the poisoning of our children with vaccines. Vaxxed confirmed everything I already knew through my research of the profiteering vaccine industry. I started investigating the link between vaccines and autism in late 2003, and I wrote many articles and reports on my findings. The CDC has never conducted any studies comparing children who were received a vaccine versus children who never received a vaccine. They have not compared a single vaccine on a vaccine schedule to children who did not receive the vaccine. CDC has also never studied the adverse effects of combining so many vaccines and giving them to infants, sometimes with four shots in one office visit. The documentary Vaxxed only looked at the MMR vaccine, but think of how many other vaccines have never been studied. The MMR causes autism, but who is to say that all the other vaccines do not cause autism as well? And I also want to point out that we always talk about autism being caused by a vaccine because it is the worst disabling adverse effect you can get from vaccines. But there are so many other adverse effects that happen with vaccines. And so according to Dell, we have more one-day infant deaths than any other industrialized nation in the world. And he reports, and he attributes this in part to the vaccines that infants get on their first day of life. So Dale will tell us about the CDC cover-up of the MMR vaccines linked to autism and the ongoing fight by the Vax team to educate the public about the dangers of childhood vaccines with no help from the pharma-controlled mainstream media. Welcome to the show, Dale.
It's a pleasure to be here, Evelyn. Thank you for having me.
I'm so proud to have you. I'm so honored that you could squeeze in the time to come on the show because I know you guys are so busy, so busy. Where are you at now, Dale?
We're in Richmond, Virginia right now. I'm sitting in our Vaxxed bus, which is traveling across the nation, as you know. We just met some people that came out to sign their names to the bus. We're having everybody with vaccine-injured child, like if the child can sign their name themselves or their parents do it. And we've had the bus on the road for just about a month and a half now, and we have over 3,000 signatures of vaccine-injured or actually dead children, too. And it, one of the things you pointed out, you know, when you said, when I heard you say that autism is what we talk about a lot because it's the worst-case injury. I actually think the worst-case injury is death, and that's something that's been surprising to me being on the road is how many babies and even teenagers are being killed by vaccines, and that's something that I had never really even heard talked about until we started traveling with the film. But yeah, And the list goes on and on, as you said. So many injuries, so many different types of adverse events I think we're suffering in this nation that it's really shocking.
Sure. Are you coming to Wisconsin?
Wisconsin. I am not looking at my schedule right now. I don't think so. I think that's... We're heading up to New York now, and then we're heading down to Atlanta because we want everyone to join us at the CDC rally in Atlanta from October 14th through the 16th. So once we're that far south, I don't think we're going to get that far north again before the holidays. So
right. So you're having a rally at You're having a rally at the CDC.
We are going to be marching on the CDC October 14th and 15th and 16th. So, people should come down and join us in Atlanta. But that's where there's a big event going on. There's an autism function down there. And Black Lives Matter, but actually Reverend Tony Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan is bringing the Million Man March to the CDC at the same time, and they're discussing the vaccine issues. So it's going to be a real meeting of minds from many different places and social aspects and races. I mean, this is something, this injury, this situation, I think may be one of the great... consolidators of humanity, because we're all being injured. This transcends race. This transcends social issues. We are all being injured by this lie, and we all need to come together if we're going to make a difference in how this country treats us and whether they own our bodies or not. I mean, is really what this comes down to. Does the government own my body? Can they inject whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want, into me without my say? Currently, it's starting with children. I live in California, so we all know the law SB 277 just took my rights as a parent away. The government now can inject with my 3-year-old baby and my 8-year-old son with whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want, if I want to put them in a public school. So it's a dangerous, tragic turn of events for a free nation.
Oh, it absolutely is, and I was going to ask you about that. How is that going out in California? I mean, how many kids are not going to school now, public school now?
You know, I really don't know. I mean, I think those are going to be some interesting numbers to look at throughout the year. I've been so focused with vaccine traveling around, but I'll tell you this, my wife and I had to have some very, very serious conversations on education with our children, and we have decided as of last week, about 10 days ago, we pulled my son out of second grade from a school we really love and a teacher we really loved, simply because I want my kids in my vision. I want to have my eyes on them while I'm living in a state where the government thinks that they are going to force vaccinate children. I find that to be a very dangerous situation. So we're going to keep our kids right in our home and our eyes on them while we try to work this law out. Obviously, we have to overturn it. And so I'm working with all sorts of different approaches on how to do that. But we have a lot of work to do in California. And for everyone that doesn't live in California, I can only say, don't let this happen in your state. You do not want to find yourself behind this ball. That's why you want to join whatever group is your local group. It's usually, it may be like here, it's Virginians for Medical Choice, Texans for Vaccine Choice. I was just down in Texas. But you've got to find these grassroots groups, because they're the reason you still, in the states that you live in, you still have exemptions, because these groups have been fighting for you. But those 10 moms, those 15 moms, those 20 people that have been fighting are not going to continue to win against the vaccine industry that is now going to pour millions of dollars into laws force vaccinating not just your children, but you. So if you want medical freedom in this nation, you have to join your local chapter of vaccine freedom or medical freedom to make a difference. It's just critical right now. It's a critical time in this nation. I think it's a founding fathers moment, where we have to decide that, we stood up for this country when it was, taxation without representation. Someone said, you should call it vaccination without representation, and that's what we're dealing with now.
Sure. Well, I don't have any small children, but and when my children were small, they got vaccines, and they, But there was very few. There wasn't that many. And like when I was a child, I got vaccines, and that was why it was so hard for me to grasp at first when the autism mom started contacting me to investigate this back in 2003, that it could be vaccines. You know, I knew nothing about vaccines or autism. All I knew about autism was Rain Man, the movie, you know. And so it was so hard to investigate. But I know now if I had small children, there is no way the government was going to blackmail me into putting that poison in my kids. And, I mean, well, how many vaccines do kids get nowadays?
Well, I know in California that you get about 39 vaccines by kindergarten and 72 vaccines by the time you're 18. And that's, right now, it's 16 different actual vaccines given with so many doses, boosters, that now add up to 72 in total. Which is a crazy number. It's increasing all the time. They're wanting to add the HPV vaccine now into the mandates. And what people should know is there's also about 300 vaccines in the pipeline that are all at various stages of being approved that we've never heard about. And so really the future of the pharmaceutical industry, which I think everyone now, I mean, what's shocking is most people now know that there's so much corruption in the pharmaceutical industry. We watch time and time again this industry being sued for billions of dollars of damages. You know, Merck had the product Vioxx that gave heart attacks. When they finally brought it to court, it was proven that Merck knew in their own studies that that product caused heart attacks. They paid over $3 billion in damages. And then in that court case, you know, an internal email was found that basically said, we will hunt the doctors down that question Vioxx and we will destroy them where they live. That was an internal memo. That company, Merck, is who makes the MMR vaccine. So
right. I covered that Vioxx saga, and yeah, I know all that, and that's, and yeah, I was listening to one of your videos today, and you were mentioning Vioxx, you know, what they did, and this is what I meant when I'm telling people that you guys really put your lives on the line, because, like you said, that internal email that time, they will set out, and they will plot, and they will destroy doctors and scientists' career if you go up against them, and they sure tried to do it with the Vioxx case.
Yes, they do. And we see it over and over again. People know that. The point being, we know the pharmaceutical industry is corrupt. I don't know if people realize now that it's the most powerful lobby in Washington, outspending oil and gas by almost twice as much. And what you have to ask yourself is, what do you think they're doing there? Do you think they're fighting for the health of your child? Or are they trying to make trillions more dollars? That's what I think they're doing there. And the future is not in drugs. It's in vaccines for many reasons. First of all, it's the only product they have you can mandate on citizens where they don't have a choice. So who wouldn't want to have a product that the government tells everybody they have to buy? And then because of that, they're increasing the amount of sales. And then you have a product also in vaccines that they can't be sued for. There's no liability in vaccines. That was taken away in 1986 by the Vaccine Injury Compensation Act, which protected the pharmaceutical industry from liability. So we have a perfect storm situation now. We have nobody is liable for the damage being done by these products. Therefore, they're increasing and fast-tracking the amount of them that are coming on the market into our babies. Because imagine if you had a car where the brakes could go out, you slam into a wall, and no one can sue you. No one would fix those brakes, and that's what's happening with vaccines. We have destructive properties now that are destroying millions of lives, and nobody is fixing it because nobody is liable. So when people think they're safe, just know that if your child gets damaged, you are on your own.
Right, and you know, most people have never seen, you know, severely autistic kids, and a good thing about your movie, you know, you had examples that, you know, when the autism moms, as I call them, that contacted me back in 2003 to investigate this, after I had seen, you know, videos of autistic kids, which I had never seen, I told them, I know this sounds horrible, but I know other people have never seen these kids. And I said, because I haven't. And I said, they have no idea what is happening to you and your families. And so I said, you should take a weekend, a month, and go to the shopping malls in a big city and bring your kids and force people to look at this, what they're doing. You know, I said this back in 2004, you know, that I knew these vaccines were causing this autism. And I said, you've got to get people see these children so they see how the vaccine industry is destroying your life.
You know, that's a really good point. And I want to say I make some of those same comments, but I do want to sort of defend the parents that aren't doing that, because you have no idea how difficult it is to have a child with autism. And it's the reason we're not seeing it. The numbers are shocking. We're at now 1 in 45 kids in America has autism, which is an astronomical number, up from 1 in 10,000 in the 1970s. But these children, imagine, especially if they're in their teenage years, if you go out in public, they don't have social understanding. They might go running after the police officer just because they've always wanted to meet a police officer. That police officer says stop. They're not going to stop because they don't understand it. Police officer pulls out a gun and they think, oh, let me play with that gun, and you now have a crisis on your hands. So it's really easy to say you should take your kids out in public. I'm not putting you down for saying that, but I'm saying that that is far more difficult a situation than we even, you know, really can understand.
Well, you know, I just posted a story. I use my time on Facebook. I don't really socialize. I use it all for finding, doing research and finding stories on issues and things that the mainstream media is distorting or, you know, not publishing at all, and that's what I spend my time on. And I've spent a lot of time on the police brutality lately, and the other day I posted a video of a caretaker of a 26-year-old boy with autism that was sitting in the middle of the street. He snuck away from a group home, and the caretaker was out there in the street trying to calm him and get him off the street, and the cops came and shot that caretaker. And then, after they admitted that was a mistake, they said they meant to shoot that autistic child, well, 26-year-old.
Right.
Sitting there in the street playing with a toy truck.
This is the future crisis of this nation that we're moving towards. I mean, you have to understand the numbers are staggering. I think there's over 3 million people now in America with on the autism spectrum. Every year, based on the numbers, we're looking at least 100,000 children born this year are going to end up on the autism spectrum. We are skyrocketing our ways. If you see our movie Vaxxed, you'll see we have an MIT scientist, Dr. Seneff, who graphs out the current rate of increase, which is an exponential curve. If something does not stop this rate of increase, we're going to be at 1 in 2 children being diagnosed with autism in 2032, and that's 80% of the boys, since it affects boys more. Imagine just, you know, inside of 15 years, 80% of the men in this country are going to end up being on the autism spectrum. This is a national security issue. This is the end of a standing army. And then you think about these parents, their biggest concern is what happens when I pass away. Who's going to take care of this child? Does this child go onto the streets? They're now an adult. They don't know how to live. They may be even high functioning in many ways. So they come across as a fully capable individual, but might have difficulty with certain social issues and contacts with police officers. You know, and we're seeing more and more and more of these autistic teenagers and adults being shot by police. And we're only seeing the beginning of it. We're only just now seeing this river, this ocean of injury is now hitting the public. And you're right. Most of us haven't seen autism that much, but it's becoming more and more prevalent. I think most people now know somebody that has someone in their family with autism. And one of the things we're doing is with Vax is we're traveling the country. So if people want to see the real stories that we're interviewing every day, 10, 20 parents telling their story of how their child was injured and what their life is like, go to Vax.com and you can see the ones we're posting, the ones we're shooting live, because that's what we're doing. It has gone unnoticed. And I think beyond the power of the film is the work that my partner, Polly Time, has been doing in recording the true stories of that. I think we've now passed 600 interviews of parents with vaccine-injured children. And it's just, it's horrific. It's a horrific moment. And it is a lie. The great lie of our times in this nation is that vaccines are safe and effective. That is absolutely not true. That's not true about any. It's not true about any element injected to anybody in this country. There is not a single thing that you can inject into people that someone is not allergic to. There's not a piece of food in this nation that you could mandate on all people that someone wouldn't die. And so I don't understand why it's so hard for people to understand that vaccines kill and maim those that are having a reaction to them. What do they think we're injecting? Water? These things have toxic elements that a growing number of children are allergic to. If you want to look at the simple idea of allergies, it's, you know, we wouldn't mandate penicillin because people would die if we did. Why are we mandating vaccines when you have the same side effects listed on any drug? People will die. People are being injured. And the costs of those injuries are not only to the health of this nation, but also to the finances of this nation and the finances of our healthcare system are going to be devastated by vaccine industry injury.
Well, sure, it probably was all the way back in 2008 or something that I wrote an article about the worst epidemic in U.S. history, autism is, and then, you know. And I said then.
It's true.
You know,
it is the worst epidemic in U.S. history. Yeah. It's one of the fastest growing issues. And it's going to be one of the most expensive. The CDC says it costs $5 million to raise a child with autism. If we have 3 million people and counting, that is going to bypass our gross national product. That is going to, insurance companies, the insurance system will be the first to collapse underneath it. And then we will all be left holding the bill. And it's going to be, it's the end of American greatness, of American exceptionalism. We're watching it before our eyes. And what is so difficult right now is, and sad, is the power of this lie and the amount of people retelling it without doing any investigation of their own. All I ask people, I'm not trying to change your mind, but do me the respect. I left a job as an Emmy-winning producer on a medical talk show because I wanted people to know the truth about this story. I've spent over a year working on making this film. I would like it if people would just watch the film. Watch it because your reviewers are lying to you, the news is lying to you, the newspapers are lying to you about what this film is about. You have to see it for yourself. It is simply this. One of our top scientists from the Centers for Disease Control, who has been a part of telling us that vaccines are safe for the last 10 years, has now come forward and not only had 4 hours of confession telling us how they've committed the scientific fraud that covered up the connection between the MMR vaccine and autism. He's not only made those statements, he's backed them up with over 10,000 documents, not just provided to this film that you will see in this film, but provided to Congressman Bill Posey in Florida, to a sitting congressman that has had scientists looking at it and has gone before the Congress, Bill Posey did, and said, please subpoena Dr. William Thompson. We have a crisis, and the American people need to know. And our Congress has not done its job now for 2 years. They've refused to subpoena Dr. William Thompson. Anybody who actually cares about the health of their children and other children in this nation should want, out of simple curiosity and desire to protect anyone that comes forward as a whistleblower, we should all be demanding that Dr. William Thompson be subpoenaed by the Congress so we can get to the bottom of this. If this is a lie, then prove it. If it's not, then we need to know the truth. Either way, this has to be in a court of law, and this court is the Congress of the United States.
Right. And it scares me because, you know, like you said, 2 years now and they haven't called him. I mean, how more obvious can you be that they are bought and paid for by pharma than doing this and knowing that it's continuing? You know, that they're continuing to force parents to put this poison in their kids.
Oh. Right. These are our elected officials. This is supposed to be a government of the people, by the people. Where is the representation? But, you know, you're a journalist, and I think that what's even more terrifying than the fact that Congress isn't doing its job, which, you know, I think that we've all lost faith in our government. If you go across this nation, we've watched the banking industry rob us of the middle class, our houses. We watch oil and gas pollute waters, pipelines explode. Nobody pays any fines. Nobody pays any taxes. So we're getting used to the government being owned by industry. But for me, what is so terrifying is the buy-off of the American media machine. If you think about it, Thomas Jefferson really said, you know, this is the journalism is supposed to be the fourth estate of government. Thomas Jefferson said, if we lose free media, we will lose our democracy. And one of the things that's been so shocking about this is if you look at the story itself, we had a whistleblower from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, the most important health agency in the world. This is not a secretary. This is not the janitor. This is one of our top scientists. The top number crunching scientist at the CDC has come forward and said, we have committed scientific fraud. He says, I cannot live with myself any longer. Every time I see an autistic child, I feel guilty and I feel responsible. How is it that not only the Congress isn't doing its job, but how is it that story has not appeared on the headlines of every major newspaper in this country? How is it that none of the news stations we listen to, from Fox to MSNBC to CNN and beyond, none of them have covered this story? Why am I the first one telling you, and as you have told probably your audience, why are we one of a handful of journalists in this nation and the world coming forward with this story about Dr. William Thompson? How is this not the biggest medical story of our time? And where is the media? And you and I know the answer to that. The media is in those commercials. What I tell people is when you're watching those commercial breaks, that every single one of them now has it as a pharmaceutical drug being advertised with this ridiculous ticker tape of possible injuries and side effects at the end. And we laugh to ourselves. We think, geez, who's buying that product over after that hideous list of side effects? And then I say, stop laughing. You have to stop laughing those commercials and realize that that commercial is who is paying Sanjay Gupta. That commercial is paying Anderson Cooper, Rachel Maddow, Bill O'Reilly. Every single news anchor we have, their salary is coming from the pharmaceutical industry. So if we have a product that is destroying millions of lives, how are we going to hear that story when the news is owned by the very company that's destroying us?
Oh, I know it exactly, and you know, and I've said that all along, and it's the same of any drugs. I mean, I've been covering the pharmaceutical industry since 2003. That's when I started being an investigative journalist, and all the drugs and devices and everything that they've carried out, and the FDA is corrupt, and the CDC, and they let them get away with it, and all this. But about vaccines, man, there is nobody, no major mainstream media that will tell the truth on vaccines. But like you said, you know, drugs, they're running out of drugs. You know, I mean, the drugs that are out, well, I don't take any pharmaceutical drugs whatsoever anymore, none. And not even an aspirin. And so they're running out of drugs, you know, and peddling them. And so vaccines is a big thing. And our government is facilitating this, you know, to vaccinate our children even more. When I was saying before about, like, my two daughters got vaccinated, they didn't get vaccinated on the first day of birth, and they didn't get vaccinated, I don't even think it was till 6 months that they got the few vaccines, right, that they started getting vaccines. You know, that this bit, like you said, about giving that vaccine on the first day of life, that is horrendous, and the ridiculous vaccine that babies don't need.
Yeah,
this
I
is
think
so
that,
ridiculous.
That's where this conversation really needs to begin with anybody that's starting to dip their toes in looking at vaccines. What is the sense of the hepatitis B vaccine? This is one of the conversations I usually start with when I'm talking to a politician or somebody that hasn't looked at this. I say, this is a sexually transmitted disease, hepatitis B. This is a disease like AIDS or HIV that your child will not come in contact with till they're either sexually active and having promiscuous sex or sharing needles. Now, why are we giving that vaccine to a day one old baby? I don't know how you plan on raising your infant, but I highly doubt they're going to be sexually active or sharing needles for quite some time, you know, and then we look at the death rate. We look at the highest day one infant death rate, and it's more than just the worst of the industrialized nations. Our day one infant death rate is higher than all of the other industrialized nations combined. We have more babies die on the first day of life than all of the industrialized nations combined. You have to ask yourself, and this is all I'm doing. This is all we do as journalists. My job is to ask the appropriate question. Why am I not being joined by every newspaper journalist in the country? I don't know. Why is it you're sitting on your hands and not asking yourself, well, we have more babies dying on the first day of life, and as it happens, we're also one of the only ones delivering the hepatitis B vaccine on the first day of life. Hello, welcome to the world, your 6-pound fragile little body gasping for its first breaths. We think it'd be really smart to inject you with toxins and a sexually transmitted disease. And lo and behold, more babies die on that day. Why? And we can't, it's impossible to imagine the vaccine might be doing that. And add to it the fact that it's not just the sexually transmitted disease, because these vaccines aren't just water with a virus in them. They're a pool of toxins, including aluminum, which is a neurotoxin. And one of the things I point out to people is we have never tested injecting aluminum into a human being. It's never been tested. We do test what it is when we eat aluminum. And when we've done that, we say, well, 30 micrograms of aluminum is the maximum toxic load a healthy child can handle being ingested at one time. Now, I think anybody that has any sort of working brain cells would imagine that injecting that 30 micrograms would be far more toxic than eating it. Eating it, it's going into an open system where it can clear out of our body. Injecting it, it's stuck in a closed system inside of our bloodstream. Well, that hepatitis B vaccine doesn't have 30 micrograms of aluminum, the maximum ever allowed to be eaten. It doesn't have 60 micrograms. It doesn't have 100. It doesn't have 200 micrograms. It has 250 micrograms of aluminum, nearly 10 times the toxic load ever approved to be ingested, being injected into a tiny baby, the most fragile time in our human existence. Explain the sense to me in that. If you can explain the sense to me in that, then I will stop talking altogether. But that's only the beginning of this insane journey the pharmaceutical industry is putting our children on.
Right, right. How did that ever get passed to give that vaccine? And like you said, other countries don't do that, right? I don't know of any.
Every other country don't do that. And here's what was shocking to me as a medical journalist. I was under the impression that drugs and vaccines were all considered the same thing, all going through the same double-blind long-term safety tests. So, you know, you look at Viagra, a product that, you know, Grandpa's taking. Well, they wanted to make sure that Grandpa didn't get sick when he was still trying to be sexually active. So they tested Viagra for about 10 years. They looked, does it cause cancer? I mean, we know it can create an erection, but is it possible it could be causing cancer at the same time? Could it be causing mutagenic effects? Well, you would think that if we're going to inject something into a baby, we're doing the same type of thorough testing. Is this vaccine not only creating the antibodies we're looking for, but could it be causing cancer, childhood leukemia? Maybe it's causing ADD, ADHD. Is it causing autism? You know, you would think they're looking at all that, but here's the deal. Viagra was tested for 10 years. Do you know how long hepatitis B was tested before we injected into babies?
Oh.
5 days. 5 days was the pre-licensing phase of testing for the hepatitis B vaccine.
And they shot that into babies?
And they shoot that into the baby the very first thing they get. A couple of breaths before they ever even get mommy's breast milk. They are being injected with a vaccine that was tested for 5 days. And a vaccine, by the way, that France, I saw a study just the other day, France had proved that the hepatitis B vaccine causes MS because of something called cell mimicry and other issues, but that's much more scientific than we want to try and get into here.
Right, right, right. So how is I know there's been a big turnout for Vax, wherever it's been, but has it been shown in a lot of cities?
So when we, many people, I think, became aware of Vax because we were selected by the Tribeca Film Festival, and then once they announced that we were in the festival, they deselected us or kicked us out of the festival. It created a big stir in the film world, and then Robert De Niro... thank God, you know, came out on the Today Show and said he disagreed with the decision that they had made, being that he was one of the partners, and he said everybody needs to see this film. And from that moment on, like in that moment, we became one of the most talked about films on social media. In the middle of that firestorm, We got a call from one theater, the Angelica Theater in New York City, saying, would you like to put your film in our theater? And we said, oh, that'd be great. Can we do it a month from now? And they said, no, your story's hot now. We want to give you the opportunity while it's still visible. You have 3 days before we want to screen it. And so we had maybe a couple thousand dollars in our checking account. We had no advertising, but we said, let's just let the people see what this is about. Because you have to understand, every newspaper in the country was writing a negative review or a negative article about our film, and none of them had seen it. They literally were being handed, I guess, some statement by the pharmaceutical industry. It was a total lie. And so we said, let's let the people see it. From that moment, since April 1st, we've now, the film has been screened in over 600 cities across the nation. We've been traveling to a different city almost every day since April 1st. You can now stream it online at Vaxxed.com. You can buy the DVD at VaxxedTheMovie.com, Vaxxed.com, Amazon.com. When it came out a couple weeks ago, for several weeks, it was the number one selling documentary on Amazon.com. And we continue to look to future methods of delivery like Hulu and things like that. So it is spreading, and as we travel the nation, I can tell you that Vaxxed is now more than just a movie. Vaxxed has become a movement, and we plan on being a movement to be reckoned with, because we are fighting for the freedom of America now. I don't believe any human being should be injected with things beyond their will. That is the end of a democracy. That is the end of freedom. And whether you totally believe in the vaccine system and all that's there, or you want to partially vaccinate with the vaccines you think are important, or you want to avoid vaccines altogether, we are brothers and sisters in this, because we live in a free country. And we have to stand up for each other and say, you know what? This is not the government's place. The government does not own my body. My body is sovereign. And that my children's bodies are mine to make decisions for until they graduate and move out of my house at 18. At that point, they can do whatever they want. And we've got to get over this fear being pumped into us by Merck's advertising department, by Pfizer's advertising department, that the news is being paid to pummel us with. There is no danger to your vaccine, your vaccinated child, from a healthy, unvaccinated child. Healthy, unvaccinated children do not spontaneously combust into disease. That's impossible. Measles comes from somewhere. If it comes, it will come from another country. And unfortunately, your vaccine is not effective enough to protect your child anyway. And I don't know if you want to build walls around your borders and lock yourself in. But we are not a nation of, you know, what I say, Howard Hughes. Like, I think about Howard Hughes, you know, is this character I think about growing up. One of the richest men of his time. But we remember the stories about having to wear gloves, having to wear masks, terrified to talk to people, wouldn't shake hands, couldn't breathe the air. And it's such a brilliant mythological character when you think about it. This is a man that had everything you would ever dream of, all the wealth you could ever dream of, yet the man could not live because he was so afraid of the planet that evolution has kept us alive on for thousands of years. And what I want to remind people is, That is a sick person, a hypochondriac, someone that is terrified to breathe air, shake hands, be around other people, terrified of bacteria, terrified of virus. That is a person that is not healthy. They need a psychiatrist. They need help. They shouldn't be being elected into positions of power like Dr. Richard Pan in California. This is a terrified hypochondriac, and I hope that he gets some help. But the last thing I need him doing is writing laws to try and tell me I'm supposed to be that afraid of the air. I'm not. I don't live in fear. I believe our children and our bodies are designed to live on this planet. We are not alive as a species because of doctors and vaccines that just arrived in the very near, you know, recent past. We are here because our bodies are designed and are powerful and are strong and able to fight disease. And if you want to vaccinate to protect yourself from disease, go right ahead. But for those of you that don't, that you should be allowed to do that. Your vaccines are supposed to protect you from everything you fear, including unvaccinated or people carrying disease. And if they don't work, don't blame the unvaccinated. Blame your medical system and your doctors. If you look at the mumps outbreak is happening only in children that are fully vaccinated. 100% vaccine uptake, those are the ones that are getting mumps all over this country. At Harvard, now in Arkansas, and yet the news, look at how the news lies about it. They get on and say all totally vaccinated children are getting the mumps, so we've got to vaccinate the unvaccinated. How does that work? How does that work? Why, let's go ahead and make the only healthy kids in the school sick like the rest of us. Is it a misery loves company attitude? Why are we letting the MMR get away with this? Why are people believing in this vaccine that isn't protecting them and may actually be making them more susceptible to disease? How else can you explain the lack of unvaccinated children in the mumps outbreaks?
Well, right, but people are just bombarded with them. I mean, you can't walk into a store without them asking you, do you want a flu vaccine?
Right. I just saw an ad where you got to get a beer and a vaccine. I don't know if it was a bar. I don't know what was happening. But there's actually advertising free beer with your vaccine. I mean, what is going on? And then, and while you're drinking that beer, they really ought to hand you the vaccine insert while you can still read and point out that one of the side effects of the flu vaccine, and it's a very real side effect, is Guillain-Barré syndrome. Possible paralysis. Even death.
Right.
And to protect yourself from, a few days of feeling ill? And then how many people know people that get the vaccine and now are not at work for 5 days because they've got what? The flu.
Right. Well, I always tell people I brag because one of the benefits of me finding out about these vaccines, and I said the autism moms were writing me and talked me into investigating this, was that I had a new grandchild coming that very year. And so I learned about the vaccines, and I went up there when he was going to be born, and I told my friends I was working at Dayton Daily News that I was going to be in that delivery room, and that I would tell any nurse that tried to get by me with a vaccine in her hand that she better think real hard on how much she valued her time on this good green earth, because she wasn't going to make it if she tried to vaccinate that child, you know. And I was in there, and boy, do those pediatricians argue with you when you tell them that you don't want vaccines. I mean, this one we went to, they make you get a pediatrician ahead of time now. We went to, and I was saying that vaccines cause autism, and she basically just called me a liar. And then she turned my daughter's head away from me, and she said, I'm telling you, vaccines do not cause autism. And I got so mad. I said, is this what you're telling these young women, this lie? You know, and I told my daughter, let's get out of here. And then she had the ADHD medication add up right in her office, you know, said, let's get out of here, you know. But, boy, if they would have had her alone, they would have talked her into it. I know it.
Well, you know, that's absolutely right. In fact, not even talk you into it. You need to bring an army with you now when you go to deliver a baby in a hospital, because they're going to try and take that baby away in a couple of seconds, and all of a sudden it doesn't matter what you wrote in your chart, doesn't matter what you told them. I can't tell you the number of parents that are telling us stories that I signed a paper saying do not vaccinate my baby, and they vaccinated them anyway. And I've talked to parents that tried to sue, and they can't win. I would say continue to try to sue. I'm not trying to. I think that if you're lied to and your baby is violated beyond your wishes like that, you should sue away. But you really need to bring someone with you, whether it's your husband, your partner, you know, a family member, because you're tired. You've just gone through this experience. Someone needs to protect that baby and keep their eyes on that baby the entire time until you are all safely out of the hospital.
Right. Well, a lot of women nowadays are not using hospitals to deliver babies. And when you were mentioning about how babies die on the first day of birth, and a lot of mothers die too, in the U.S. more than in the other countries and stuff too, after childbirth. And I said that, because, you know, here we pay in this country, we pay more for medical care than any other country on this globe. And yet we have the worst health outcomes of any country.
I know, it's shocking, isn't it? I mean, you look at the stats, they're horrible. You know, you know, hospitals are now literally the third leading cause of death in this country. Hospitals, meaning you died for reasons other than you went into the hospital for. You were basically killed, mistaken surgeries, infections, MRSA, CRE, things that you get that you weren't there for. And you know, even on the doctor's television show, which is a very medical show that I worked on, I really enjoyed working on that show, by the way, but we would say these things, that if you get a surgery, get out of the hospital as fast as you can. Every day you're in a hospital, you are at risk for, you know, contracting a deadly, life-threatening, antibiotic-resisting bacteria or disease. So, you know, it's a dangerous place to be. You look at, you know, these are the stats. 1 in 2 children now has a chronic illness. I mean, think back to us as kids. We just didn't grow up in it. This is the sickest generation of children we have ever seen. 1 in 2 children have a chronic illness. 1 in 4 children are going to leave elementary school on a drug they will be on the rest of their life. Asthma is through the roof. Deadly anaphylactic food allergies through the roof. Autism skyrocketing in numbers we've already talked about. Childhood leukemia, MS, Lou Gehrig's disease. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Why do people still trust this medical system being controlled by the most corrupt industry in the pharmaceutical industry the world has ever seen? What is making them feel so confident that they are being taken care of? And I get it. It really comes down to the doctors. It comes down to the fact that they trust their doctors. And and I'm sad. I'm saddened to tell you that, unfortunately, your doctors have been lied to the same way you have. They believe the CDC the same way all of us on the doctor's television show I used to work on did too. And that's what Vaxxed uncovers, is that there isn't some giant worldwide conspiracy. We have a lie that was perpetrated by 5 scientists on the MMR study, and they happen to be the same scientists that end up doing the studies on the other vaccines too, because they're the ones, the head of the Vaccine Safety Department at the Centers for Disease Control, the most powerful industry agency in the world. So it only took 5 people to start a lie that the Pediatric Association believes and tells all doctors, you have to do this because the CDC said this, and all the insurance companies say, you have to do this because the Pediatric Association says to do this, and then the government says, you have to do this because the Pediatric Association, the insurance companies all say to do it, and we know that the CDC is telling us to do it. So this one lie by these 5 scientists is affecting every part of our government and our media and everything. It's not a giant conspiracy. There's 5 people or more, you know, there's probably a handful, like Julie Gerberding, who was the head of the CDC at the time this study was done. She was the head of the CDC. We have internal emails from Dr. William Thompson reaching out to her saying, I refuse to lie. These numbers, we've got to tell the American people. She doesn't do anything about it. She lets this group commit fraud. And then what does she do after they've exonerated Merck and the MMR vaccine and it's now perfectly safe and not causing autism? Where does she go? The head of CDC goes over to a multi-million dollar position as the head of Merck's vaccine department. The head of the CDC, after exonerating Merck and this vaccine, gets a job at Merck. Now, I'm not here to tell you that she was paid off, or I don't know. All I know for sure is Merck clearly appreciated the job she had done investigating their vaccine.
Oh, sure, and she was one that really pushed through the Gardasil to get approved, too. So much so she was there, and that's Merck's vaccine,
Absolutely. Too. The same handful of people that are committing a fraud that is destroying millions of lives and making, you know, millions beyond that lie to each other, including the doctors. For every doctor out there, I can only say this. Every doctor that has seen this film comes up to me afterwards and said, I came here kicking and screaming. I didn't believe this. My relative or somebody dragged me here, and that movie just changed my life. I am going to change the way I practice medicine. And now, my 6 months on the road, I have not once had a doctor come up to me and say, I came here kicking and screaming because I believe this was a lie and you are lying. It has not happened. And people should ask themselves, if this movie is a lie, why isn't the most powerful industry in the world suing them?
Exactly.
I'll tell you why. They don't want to disclose the things we would ask for in a lawsuit against us. Oh, I would love that. Let me go ahead and make you show me all the documents beyond what I already have.
Right, right. Now, in California, did they file to get an injunction against that that vaccine mandate?
They did file to get an injunction, and that was not granted. They lost that case, and that case, many of the lawyers that were involved in those cases are breaking off and trying to try a new approach, a more targeted, specific approach to going after SB 277. So, you know, I'm talking to many of those lawyers. I'm also working on the politics of this and seeing if we can legislate and change this through legislation. I'm also, you know, talking to the public. I'm talking to insurance companies. I am involved with many people like me, many of the powerful activists in this movement, looking at every possible way we can protect medical freedom in this country. Because when it comes down to is, there is no such thing as a safe vaccine. There never will be. And I'm not ever going to try to take vaccines away from people that believe in them. But I will tell you this. Where there is a risk on my child, there must always be a choice. It's my choice. And it will always be my choice. And I will stand here, and I will lead this fight if I have to, and I will stand with all of those that fight for medical freedom. Because to me, America, our freedom, our nation, is hanging in the balance. Everything our founding fathers fought for is hanging in the balance on this one issue. If we lose control of our bodies, we have lost control of the government. And if we've lost control of the government, that means it's no longer a government for the people, by the people. It's become a government for the corporations, by the corporations. And if we have gone that far, we are now an enslaved people.
Yeah, well, I have great hope for you people, and I have a lot of faith in the effort that you are making, because, boy, I was to the point that it was like I didn't see how this was going to stop at all. I mean, I knew that study was fraudulent that they put out in 2004. I didn't know exactly how and everything, you know, until you came out with your report. But, I mean, I knew that they were lying, and they right. used that study to say, well, you know, now it's been settled. It's been settled.
Right.
You know, vaccines do not cause autism. And, I mean, every media person would put that in their articles or on TV when they're talking.
Right.
And I'd get so mad, you know, because it was never settled. I mean, I looked at studies all the way back from when the Marisol first came out and stuff. I had scientists sending me studies and stuff. I mean, I knew what the background was, so when they came out with that study and said that, put it all to rest, now it's done, you know, it was like so full of shit. You guys are such saviors here. I mean, I have so much hope in all that you are doing, and you're working so hard. I am so proud of all of you. And now, on your show, The Doctors, now, do they ever talk about it on there now that it's real, that vaccines do cause autism?
No.
In fact,
I haven't heard from anybody on the show since I left. You know, it's, I hope that one day that, because they're all great people, they all mean well. I hope that one day Dr. Oz will step forward, the Doctors Television will step forward, Sanjay Gupta will admit that he'd been lied to, and that when you really look at these studies, the truth is you can read the studies just how they're written, and you look at, you know, this is just one story. This is a pattern of criminal activity from the CDC. The Verstraten study looking at mercury in vaccines had all the same issues. We have internal emails where they're saying we can't get rid of this effect. Even higher rates of autism from thimerosal, where they were seeing up to 7 or even 11 times more likely to develop autism if you got a mercury-loaded vaccine. And yet they did the same thing they did here. These studies are supposed to take, usually they'll say, we'll be done in 6 months. And in all of these cases, these studies end up taking years because the scientists spent years trying to figure out how to manipulate, massage, and change these numbers so that they come out and say that, oh no, these things aren't causing autism. And so it's a pattern of corruption. that has to stop. I mean, I feel for the people that get upset with me, and I know they're out there, and they say, "Oh, you're killing babies," you know, and people, I see people yell at them, and the truth is they are worried about the safety of children. They think I'm dangerous to the safety of children, or that our story is dangerous to the safety of children, and they will continue to think that as long as they don't see this film. But every one of them that finally gives in and says, well, let me at least see what the other side is saying, which is what intelligent people are supposed to do. I honestly listen to the other side. I am still waiting. Where is the vax versus unvaxxed study? Prove to me that these vaccines are safe. And they can't. Right. They can't do it. Right. And so until they really can, I just am not like these other journalists. I don't repeat what I'm told by other journalists. I don't read about this in the newspaper. I go and read the studies. That's what journalists should be doing.
Right. You have saved lives. Your VAX team has saved lives. They're sterilizing people, so the birth rates have went down. As long as I was reporting, it was over 4 million births. Now it's down below 4 million. For the first time since I started reporting.
Yep.
But anyhow, that many births, say 4 million a year, to round it off, your team has probably saved millions of lives in the last couple of years with this coming out. You know, a lot of these young parents would have never known anything about any of this, and they would have went for it all. That your team has saved probably millions of children's lives. You are not killing babies. You are saving babies. I am so thankful to have you on. You're such a hero to me. And I hope I can have you on again, because we need to keep this issue out there. We've got to stop this. Yes. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Del. Well, people, I'm glad that you tuned in. I hope you learned a lot today, and I hope you watched the movie that every parent, every grandparent has to see this. Parents are young, they're busy. Grandparents, watch this movie. Protect your grandchildren, please. See you next week, people. Bye.